Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Everybody, welcome to this week's This Is the Still Real Tush Show, episode number 686 for April 6, 2023. Welcome to your WrestleMania 39 weekend recap and review edition of SRTU. I am one half the show. I am Jeff Peck. Joined every single week by my co-host, one only Dr. Trey Franklin. Dr. Trey, we survived another WrestleMania weekend, my friend.
We did, and the exhaustion was setting in. I was cramping really bad from dehydration from all the wrestling watching, and then I was going to grow out a really bad mustache, but then I realized I already had one and had a beard, so I didn't need to do that.
See, that's funny, because I'm thinking about being Gomez Adams for Halloween this year.
You're a ginger, though, Jeff. You'd have to do the full wig, the whole nine yards.
You don't think I would look good with a pencil mustache?
If you dyed it jet black, fantastic. But with a if you have a ginger mustache, do you even have a mustache? Does it really
give me one? Real quick. I just want to go on Google Images and type in like ginger pencil mustache, and
Howard never had a mustache. I don't really know.
I'm getting a bunch of weird, creepy mugshots for this. Maybe that's a bad idea. Okay. Let's forget about that. Yeah, we're alive, and as all of you are, which is great. What another day up. WrestleMania weekend it's an exhausting weekend. I did not get to bed until Friday night, Dr. Trey, until 12:45 a.m. on the East Coast, and that was after watching SmackDown in the Hall of Fame live. Then did NXT Stand and Deliver live. Did WrestleMania 39 Night 1 live. I don't get to bed until after midnight again on that go-around. Had the day during the day on Sunday, which was nice. It was nice to be a normal human after just basically sitting on a couch all day Saturday. Went to bed a little after midnight again. And then Monday, I'm a UConn basketball fan, so I watched the national championship game. And again, didn't get to bed until after midnight, and then I had to get caught up on Raw and NXT over the last couple of days. It's the most fun weekend of the year by far for wrestling fans, but damn, is it exhausting.
So I had to work in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, home of the University of Alabama, speaking of colleges. So I had about an hour and a half drive from my home to Tuscaloosa, so Friday night, I watched the Hall of Fame ceremony on my drive home from Tuscaloosa, got all the way up through Rey Mysterio's introduction, saved that for Saturday morning, watched it, worked all day Saturday until about 5 o'clock, watched the rest of the Hall of Fame ceremony, and then started watching Stand and Deliver on my drive home. Got home in time to watch WrestleMania. Went to bed like you did, like around 12. Sunday, had to get up and go. I had to drive from my house to Huntsville, Alabama, which is about an hour and 15 minutes away from the house. Finished up Stand and Deliver. Then drove down to Birmingham, 2 hours away, to go work down there for a little bit. Got home right at 6:30 in time to jump on and watch WrestleMania Night 2 live. So that was it's great when you have to travel, so you can't watch everything live and it's happening, but it fills in those gaps of those long drives for me, so I can sit there and check out stuff and see it and do it at my own time. And, you know, I love watching stuff live, but, you know, watching it. And then I stayed off social media the entire weekend as well, so I didn't get any spoilers. So it actually, it worked out pretty well for me with filling time and, you know, still being able to get my work done and everything else.
Yeah, I had trouble on social media on Monday night with Raw because I did not watch it live. Obviously, everything that was going on from Raw, I was getting spoiled by it, but still tuned in anyway. But it's a fun weekend. It's an exhausting weekend. It's an end to a year-long story when it comes to World Wrestling Entertainment. Overall, I mean, I just was very highly entertained, and we'll discuss it throughout this week's edition of the show. We will recap and review everything for you from WrestleMania weekend here on this week's edition of the podcast. With that said, when it comes to exhaustion, Dr. Trey and I are going to take a couple weeks off, but we're still bringing you new content. So on next week's show, we're planning on focusing everything in regards to the WWE sale to Endeavor for $9.3 billion. We'll have everything in regards to Vince McMahon possibly being back involved with creative, CM Punk, everything going on with him in AEW. That is the plan for next week's edition of the podcast. And then 2 weeks from now, we will be doing on April the 20th, we're going to be doing our very first time ever. We're going to do a fantasy promotion draft. So Dr. Trey and I are going to have our own two fantasy promotions, and we're going to break it out to picking out the top. We're going to do 10 rounds for male superstars, 10 rounds for female superstars, 5 rounds for tag teams, and we're going to do 2 rounds for the commentary booth and 2 rounds for the backstage interviewers, and that will be in 2 weeks. So it'll be the very first time we've done that. Still new content for all of you here on the Still Real to Us show, but if you're thinking that you're going to be tuning in and get anything that's timely during those 2 weeks, while there is a very good chance that there will be timely stuff being said, we may miss a major story or two during that time. Like if Vince all of a sudden has been fired by WWE, like the NXT fans were chanting at the most recent live edition of NXT television, we won't be covering it. So it's a grind, Dr. Trey, right? I mean, the last 4 months have been a real grind getting ready towards WrestleMania, and it's nice to take a little bit of a break still, but still putting out new content.
Yeah, I mean, this is a little bit of our, this is what we build up all year for, is these 4 months. That you know, that road to WrestleMania is what we live for. And so we get to take a little break. And this is actually weird. Like for us, like during the pandemic era, then right before that, like we really didn't take a lot of breaks during that time. It was, you know, we took more breaks in our early years when we were younger than we have since we got older. So, you know, it's a little bit different. I'm really, really excited about the fantasy draft. Like, I'm, like, geeking out about it. By the way, I forgot to mention this. We talked about a little bit off air. Are we naming our promotions?
I think that's a good idea, right? We've never done that before.
Yeah. Well, we've never done any of this fantasy stuff before. So
True.
I will say, if you go with Pecker Championship Wrestling, that would be my number one for you.
Peckard?
I mean, the old Jeff, that's in my contacts, you're listed as the old Pecker.
Hey, might as well. Dr. Trey is still as Captain Obvious in my phone.
There you go.
Going back, I mean, and you haven't used that moniker, what now? 10 years?
I got into wrestling in 2014, so about 8 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that discussion. Like, hey, I'm changing my name. All right, hey, yeah. Let's do it. I thought that was going to take a while. It didn't take too long. So that'll be over the next couple of weeks. And then, enjoy all that content. Then we'll get you ready for WWE Backlash. And then we'll start looking towards King and Queen of the Ring, NXT Breakdown, AEW Double or Nothing, all coming up here on the next several weeks on the Still Real Toast Show. All right, Dr. Trey, let's start with Friday night, WWE Hall of Fame Class of 2023, the special that aired following SmackDown on Peacock. You had Stacy Keibler being inducted by Torrie Wilson and Mick Foley, Andy Kaufman being inducted by Jerry Lawler and Jimmy Hart, The Great Muta being inducted by Ric Flair, Tim White being the Warrior Award recipient being inducted by the APA, and then Rey Mysterio being inducted by Conan. Some of my quick thoughts here, Stacy Keibler looked timeless. It was great to see her back on TV, and you do forget about like her contributions and her being a big time wrestling fan, which was always pretty cool. And just by chance, she got into the wrestling business and then later became a WWE Hall of Famer. I do wish that her career was a little bit longer in WWE, but she was poised to do other things in life outside of professional wrestling. Andy Kaufman's family, it was nice for him to finally get recognized in the celebrity wing of the WWE Hall of Fame. Great to see Jerry Lawler. I hope he's doing well, recovering from a stroke. The Great Muta, I loved seeing the Great Muta in WWE ring. And then the second thing is I read an interview where he himself was shocked that he was chosen for the WWE Hall of Fame. Flair, of course, like rambled on for a little bit with his induction speech. Tim White's family, I mean, they were so touched by him going in the Hall of Fame. I absolutely adored that on how much, you know, it really meant to them to have their brother be honored like that. So that was really, really cool to see. And Timmy White definitely deserved that. And then Rey Mysterio. I feel like I say this every year, but I'll say it again. Conan's speech to induct Rey Mysterio is one of my favorite of all time I've ever heard. I mean, he hit the nail on the head by characterizing and describing Rey Mysterio and his career. I love that speech. Ray's speech was good and solid as well. He seemed to be overwhelmed by the moment, but I thought Conan was like the MVP of the entire show, quite honestly. And he was very passionate about honoring his friend, Rey Mysterio. Love the Dominic Rhea Ripley stuff. I thought that was great to further that storyline. But, all in all, as always, Dr. Trey really enjoyed the Hall of Fame ceremony. What was your thoughts on the ceremony this past year?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to do a quick run through like you did. Stacy Keibler, like you said, like she looks timeless. Like she, and then you forget that she dated George Clooney at one point. Like stuff like that. You're like, damn, I forgot about that. But, you know, her, every now and then that some of the speeches, I kind of like, yeah, I get your point about, you know, all this stuff. But like her speech was really good. I had forgot about the Miss Hancock stuff because it's just been so long. And I'm like, damn, I forgot how quick she transitioned just from Nitro Girl to being on-air talent. And you know, like Mick Foley said, when she was on TV you couldn't turn away. So I thought that was really good. The Andy Kaufman introduction, I felt, or you know, Andy Kaufman induction, it was good to see Jerry Lawler, good to see Jimmy Hart. Family was really touched. I also love they actually had the intergender title floating around there as well this weekend, that was pretty cool. I did reach out to Dave Milliken just to check on Jerry Lawler, because Dave and Jerry really closed. They said Jerry's doing well, and then seeing Jerry talk, I'm like, yeah, he's not far off. Like, he's still recovering, but he's not far off on that. The Muta stuff was so, like, the Flair speech was like, yeah, it rambled, but like Flair talking at times, most of the time, it's really well done. I enjoyed a lot of his stories as well, even though Flair has the habit of always trying to put himself over when he's doing stuff for somebody else. It's still about him. Muta doing the miss at the Hall of Fame was really cool. I hate that they missed it on night two of WrestleMania, but we'll get into that a little bit on camera work. Tim White, like APA was right. Tim White's brother looks just like Tim White.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could not take my eyes off him the entire time. And he was, you can see they were just having a blast. They were having fun being out there and celebrating Tim's life. And then with Ray, once again, you hit the nail on the head. Conan's speech was fantastic. I thought Ray's speech was pretty good. It did feel like a little bit of, you know, they did the 2K22 game last year and it kind of recapped his career, and he did voiceover on that, and some of the speech kind of felt like the voiceover work on there. But the story he told about going to AAA and, you know, Angie, who was his girlfriend at the time, quitting nursing school to send him money just so he could survive. I thought that was beautiful. Like, my wife and I both talked about that. Like, how cool is that for, you know, she dropped out of school to support his dream. Like, you don't get, like, and then, you know, they've been married now 30 years. Like, you don't come across people like that. So, overall, I thought it was a really solid Hall of Fame and induction for 2023.
Yeah, very, very good show. Always a heartwarming show to see. And it's always great to see former superstars return, former talents return, and then the occasional, like, people who never performed in WWE getting an opportunity on that stage. So always love that event, the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony on Friday night. Then that carries us over to Saturday afternoon, NXT Stand to Deliver recap and review this past Saturday afternoon again from the Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles, California. We'll start with the pre-show match. Chase University and Tyler Bate defeat Schism in an 8-person mixed tag team match to keep control of Chase University. I had Chase University and Tyler Bate. Dr. Trey had Schism. A good payoff with Duke Hudson teasing joining Schism, but showed he is still Chase U. Ava looked pretty green for her first match, so this 8-person mixed tag was a good way to cover it up. Funny moment of the match was Joe Gacy spelling Schism wrong when mimicking the Chase U stomps. I don't know if other folks picked that up, but he went S-H-C instead of S-C-H during the Chase U stomps. Obviously, there's reports out there following this that the Dyad, also known as Grizzled Young Veterans, formerly known as Grizzled Young Veterans, did request a release. It was not granted because they performed on NXT Level Up on Tuesday night. But yeah, good payoff. Fine way to start the show, Dr. Trey.
Yeah, good solid 8-man tag. I mean, a mixed 8-man tag. And, you know, for, you know, 6 guys and 2 girls to have a decent match is usually pretty tricky. You're right. Ava still looked green. It's a great way to cover it up, but she looks the part. She looks like a mini Tamina, mini, you know, Nia in a way. Like, she's big, but at least she can move. So, good debut for her. You know, a little bummed out that Schism didn't win, because I thought the dark universe should be kind of cool, but Chase U getting the big victory is good for them, and the Duke Hudson on, you know, Andre Chase stuff still, you know, going through on NXT TV, so it's some good storytelling there going on.
Next match is Indy Hartwell defeating Roxanne Perez, Zoe Stark, Gigi Dolin, Tiffany Stratton, and Lyra Valkyrie in a ladder match to win the NXT Women's Championship. We both had Roxanne Perez getting the victory. Great job by all 6 women. Indy Hartwell winning the title along with help from Dexter Lumis was a really nice surprise. And then that spot where Tiffany Stratton gets pushed off the ladder knocked the wind out of me. Like, they missed her. She landed on her back and screamed in pain. And that was not a sell scream. That was a legit scream. Indy Hartwell, the new NXT Women's Champion. Great moment, Dr. Trey. Very, very happy for Indy, who it appears she's long overdue to become a champion. Then it felt like there was a period of time where she may never win the championship in NXT.
Yeah, like, I was a little confused, you know, when the results actually happened. Like,
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Out of the 6 women in the match, I think she would have been like my fourth or fifth pick to win the match. Like, she was way down the list. But, you know, getting the Dexter Lumis return, which, by the way, that little spot where he's like slid out between her legs, I'm like, that's awesome and creepy. There you go. All right, cool. But then also get the payoff later with Johnny and Candice was great. So good for her. I legitimately was surprised that she won. Like I said, I would have gone with, you know, Roxanne, Tiffany, you know, Gigi way before I got to Indy, but heck, they're paying off. And then, you know, we see a little bit of stuff playing out storyline wise on NXT. So good for her. But I will say, she looks perpetually confused with whatever, like, her facial expression. She just looks always lost.
Indy, you're saying, right?
Yeah, Indy, yes. Indy looks like somebody left her in a super center, and like when she was a kid, And she just never got that, like, where's my mom and dad face at, off? Like, it's just she stuck does. On it all day.
That is pretty much spot on. Indy Hartwell, the new NXT Women's Champion, who also retained on Tuesday night over Zoe Stark. Next match here is, and well, now she's got also Tiffany Stratton and Corey Jade breathing down her neck as well. Next match here is Gallus defeating the Creed brothers and the D'Angelo family in a triple threat match to retain the NXT Tag Team Championship. I had the D'Angelo family, Dr. Dre had Gallus. I tweeted out before the match, I'm like, I wonder where Joe Coffey is and if this is the time that he returns. And that's how it played out. Match was fine. I do wish it had more time. Joe Coffey returns to help Gallus retain. And once again, the Gallus boys are on top, Dr. Trey.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty solid match. It's not so much I wish they had more time. It just kind of seemed like instead of being a traditional triple threat tag match, it was like a triple threat tornado match. Like it felt a little weird in time. But like this is my first time really watching a Creed Brothers match all the way through in quite a while. Yeah, Julius is going to be a star. I like Brutus, but Julius is the guy.
Told you, man.
Do what?
I told you that. I'm a big Julius Creed guy.
I was a Brutus guy at first because I just thought he was bigger. He was thicker. But, yeah, Julius has a lot of, like, young John Cena ability in him. Maybe not charisma yet, all that stuff. But physically, athletically, yeah, that dude's going to be huge down the road. But I still love Gallus. Those guys are the closest thing to, like, Scottish APA. They just seem like ass kickers all the time. And then like I'm slowly starting to come around on you know D'Angelo and Stax. I always thought it was kind of a cheesy gimmick, and then now with the whole like the Don and the underboss, I'm like, all right, slowly getting there. It does feel a little bit like, you know, Johnny the Bull and Big Vito from WCW, but I'm slowly getting there. Overall, I thought it was a pretty solid triple threat match.
Next match was Wes Lee defeating Dragon Lee, JD McDonagh, Ilya Dragunov, and Axiom in a fatal five-way match to retain the NXT North American Championship. Dr. Trey and I both had Dragon Lee. Impressive finish. Wes Lee's North American title run has been so damn impressive. Fun match. The crowd did seem dead. It was the morning out there, and maybe they were all at the Hall of Fame the night before in SmackDown, which makes a ton of sense. This title run has surprised the hell out of me, Dr. Trey. I don't think I've ever picked Wes Lee to retain in any of the premium live events that we've covered for NXT, and he comes out every single time. One of the more impressive NXT North American title runs we've seen since, I mean, him and Carmelo probably too are the only ones that have had really impressive runs with that title.
You know, the thing about Wes Lee, he gives me a little bit of like Rey Mysterio vibes. Like he's so undersized, but he's so crazy athletic. And it's hard to book somebody like that because they just always feel like they're squeaking out victories and they're never dominant. It's always like that, you know, initial Daniel Bryan World Championship run where he's just happy to be there. But he's had a really solid run. And this is one of the first times I didn't pick him, mainly because of the Dragon Lee factor. But it was a really fun match, really entertaining. The kick at the end, I felt like he missed it a little bit. And one of my issues with NXT this weekend was camera cuts were just really bad throughout the entire show. Like, they kept missing stuff. So I felt like the camera angle was a little bit off. You couldn't really get a clear picture of what happened there with the finish. But it was great for Wes to get the win. And I'm really looking forward to see what they do with him coming out of this stuff. Like, keeping the North America. I mean, can you picture Wes Lee being NXT champion? Because that's in the area we need to start looking at. Is he one of those guys that they can put the main title on in this brand?
Next match here is Johnny Gargano defeating Grayson Waller in an unsanctioned match. I had Johnny Gargano, Dr. Ed Grayson Waller. Incredible match. Love the storytelling. Gargano and Waller woke the crowd up. I know that usually someone does the honors on their way out, but Waller was a made man when Gargano left the last time, like when his contract ended. And then also in the buildup, this was, you know, Grayson Waller being the guy. He was a made man. So I'm fine with Gargano getting the win on his way out of NXT because I felt like that was the right call. Fun match, Dr. Trey. Crowd was really behind it. Great stuff. Love. I mean, for a glimmer, we got to see Gargano back in NXT, which I always felt like is his true home and true calling when it comes to him as a performer. Really enjoy this match as Johnny Gargano defeats Grayson Waller.
Yeah, no, it was a really fun match, really entertaining. Some of the stuff they came up with was really creative as well. For me, I loved it because I felt like we wrapped up the storyline for the way. You know, with the way, using it that in that sense, but the way the storyline kind of finished up on the initial run, it kind of felt like there were still some threads that hadn't been tied up. And between the Indy Hartwell win and Dexter showing up, and then Candice getting involved in this match, and then the pose on the stage post-match, I thought it was a good way to kind of wrap all of that. That was one really the first, you know, Shawn Michaels took over NXT around that time. I thought it was a good way to tie the story up. So it was really apropos.
Next match here is Alba Fire and Isla Dawn defeating Fallon Henley and Kiana James to win the NXT Women's Tag Team Championship. Dr. Trey and I both had Alba Fire and Isla Dawn getting the victory. Fine match. Story was Jensen not giving Kiana James the bag to help them cheat to retain after listening to Briggs and Fallon Henley not to cheat. We saw that play out in a very small segment on Tuesday's NXT, which was surprising. I felt like they would have gotten a little bit more time to discuss that. But Kiana James, you know, did say that she was seeing other people because they weren't exclusive. And as I'm saying this out loud, I can't believe I'm talking about it. But it is one of the better storylines they've had in NXT, actually some long-term storylines, whether you agree with the context of it all or not. Nonetheless, Alba Fire and Isla Dawn retain the NXT Women's Tag Team Championship.
Couldn't Brooks have just checked his Facebook to see what his status was? You know, I mean, if you're in a relationship with Kiana, she would have confirmed it. I mean, you should have known that.
True.
One,
but, that is true.
But no, I it was a fun match, and I'm really digging this Alba Fire Isla Dawn combination. Like, this could be something. You need a standard bearer in the tag team division to kind of work with, and although I loved Katana and Kayden's run, like, we really haven't had this since Toxic Attraction. So it's been a little while, but, you know, Isla and Alba could really be a dominant tag team in that division to hold those belts for a while, because really there's not a whole else, you know, not a lot going on in the tag team division unless you go back to Kayden and Katana. So I think it's a good setup for their division going forward. Plus, you know, the storyline. I mean, this has been a long-term storyline. I mean, we're talking 6-8 months of this whole build-up with Kiana and Fallon, and especially for two girls who are newer to NXT, to get a storyline this juicy to last this long shows what kind of belief they have in them. Plus, with Briggs and Jensen, I mean, those are former NXT UK tag team champions, so it's a good storyline to keep kind of running with. I mean, this thing might almost hit a year at some point here before long.
And then finally, the main event, Carmelo Hayes defeats Bron Breakker to win the NXT Championship. We both had Carmelo Hayes getting the victory. I thought the match was okay. It's about time for the Carmelo Hayes era of NXT to begin. I'm really looking forward to what the future holds with Carmelo at the top of the NXT brand. We got a little bit of a glimpse on that at the close of Tuesday's edition of NXT, coming off of Bron Breakker shaking Carmelo's hand, raising his arm following their match on Saturday. He did so again at the close of NXT, but similar to Monday Night's Raw, there was a shocking twist, and he laid out Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams while turning heel in the process. Dr. Trey, what are your thoughts here on Carmelo Hayes defeating Bron Breakker to win the NXT Championship and all that ensued following the show?
Yeah, I thought the match was solid, and maybe this is a little bit of us overhyping our heads because this is the match we've been wanting to see for a while now, and you know, maybe it didn't deliver. For me, I think it was kind of the finish. I thought the finish was okay, but I thought the post-match didn't make any sense. Like, you got knocked out by a belt shot to the back of the head, which is a heel move, and then you shook the guy's hand, and then come Tuesday, you lay the guy out, and everybody says you turn heel. And I'm like, but the other guys did a heel thing to win the title. Like, I'm kind of confused on this whole, like, double turn, because I don't feel like, in my head watching it, it's not a double turn. Like, Braun's upset because the other guy cheated. I get that. That makes sense to me. So, but the match itself, I thought, you know, it highlighted what both guys can do. I love some of the transitions in there, going from that gorilla slam into the DDT. Like, some of that stuff like they did was really good. So, I'm excited to see what they do with this, but, like, I don't know if I'm sold on this whole, like, double turn, because I understand what Braun did.
Pay-per-view prediction records from Stand and Deliver. I went 4-3. Dr. Trey went 3-4. We'll look at the event rating and match of the night. I gave Stand and Deliver a 3.3 in my match of the night, was Johnny Gargano and Grayson Waller. What say you, Dr. Trey?
Yeah, I was a little bit higher. I was about a 3.5, and I had Waller and Gargano also.
So there you go. NXT Stand and Deliver in the books. Then that carries us over to night one of WrestleMania 39 this past Saturday and Sunday from SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California. We'll start with the first match here. Austin Theory defeating John Cena to retain the WWE United States Championship. I had Cena, Dr. Trey had Austin Theory. Theory dominated most of the match. Cena came off like the rusty veteran, which makes sense. Theory gets the biggest victory of his career, and what happens the next 365 days for him will be something to watch. I think all in all, not a popular opinion, but I'll say it anyway. The build for this was a little bit disappointing, as I alluded to on last week's pre-show. Did not see Cena all that much. I did like the storyline of Austin Theory having to prove something. According to reports, this match was supposed to have a little bit more time than it did. I think it was around the 11 to 13 minute mark, I feel like I read. And maybe they were supposed to get close to 20. Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird feeling, Dr. Trey. I mean, it's the right move, Austin Theory getting the victory, but it's just weird knowing that this was a John Cena match at WrestleMania, I guess.
Yeah, like, I'm with the build wasn't great. I mean, the build was eerily similar to Bray Wyatt Undertaker, where we never saw Undertaker, you know. Mm-hmm. The biggest difference was Bray can cut great promos, and Theory's promos weren't bad, but not on his level. The match itself, I never got into it. Like, I don't want to say I was bored, but it just felt meh. Like, it felt like a cosplay John Cena in the ring. It just didn't feel like a John Cena match. Like, there was never really, like, you know, Cena from underneath. Like, it was one A-town down. Now, albeit with a low blow, but we've seen John Cena kick out of how many rock bottoms at WrestleMania? It just reminded me a lot of the Cena Undertaker WrestleMania match where Cena got like nothing, you know. It was just kind of like, I don't want to say it wasn't a blowout, but it was kind of a rout kind of match. It didn't feel like a big match John type performance, which is kind of sad to say.
Yeah, very very strange performance from John Cena at WrestleMania. I think you hit it perfectly by saying it was reminiscent of Undertaker and Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania 31. I thought that was a really, really good comparison. And then the show went into overdrive from here, from this point forward, in my opinion. Street Profits defeats Braun Strowman and Ricochet, Alpha Academy, and the Viking Raiders in the men's WrestleMania Showcase Fatal 4-Way match. We both had the Viking Raiders. What a match, Dr. Trey. All four teams brought it and made a huge bid to steal the show on night one. Fun match all around with some amazing spots. Behind the scenes on this, I received a DM from the USA Network asking if they could use my tweet from this match, my thoughts on this match, for an Instagram post. Never happened, so F you, USA Network. I'll check my phone, maybe it's happened now. But really enjoyed this match, Dr. Trey. This had like this very early, like, holy shit, they could steal the show right now.
Yeah, no, it was incredible. Like, it was fatal four-way tag matches, and in comparison, the one we saw at Stand and Deliver, like, just next level. And it was seamless. The transitions were great. Everybody came out looking very strong in this match. Some of the moments in this match were great. Like, I had probably low expectations going into it, and they exceeded everything I thought they could pull off in this match. So, yeah, like, I was literally going, wow, we went from a John Cena match that I had high expectations for, which was not great, to a tag match that I didn't have a lot for, and it was fantastic. So, yeah, like I, in my head, the Theory Cena match was now pre-show, and this was what kicked off WrestleMania.
Next match here is Seth freaking Rollins defeating Logan Paul. We both had Seth freaking Rollins getting the victory. Fun match. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Logan Paul is an athletic freak who is amazing with just four matches under his belt. Also, I'm officially old, as I had no idea who or what KSI was. Maybe you do, Dr. Trey, but a really fun match. Seth Rollins defeating Logan Paul.
Yeah, really fun match. Now, did you like the Logan entrance?
I thought it was perfect for his character.
Yeah, like that's kind of like, as a Shawn Michaels fan, to see somebody else doing the zipline entrance, you know, but, you know, live streaming it while he was doing it, I thought was decent at least. I thought that was truth.
I did too as well. You're that. I'm glad you said that. I thought I was the only one, but I did as well.
And then I didn't know what a KSI was. I'm like, I'd heard of PSI, but that was, you know, pressure per square inch, you know, pounds per square inch on my tire. I didn't know what a KSI was. But I like the spot. Like the entire, like my wife, when we saw the Prime mascot come out, she's like, what, that's Seth in the thing. I'm like, no, Seth's getting an entrance. It's somebody else that's going to get involved in this match. But yeah, it was a really fun match. Logan Paul's an athletic freak. Seth has the crowd in the palm of his hands, and why he is not the next guy challenging Roman, I don't understand, because like, if you can get an entire crowd to sing your song and you're not Chris Jericho, like at least Chris Jericho has words in his Judas song. This is them just chanting for 5 minutes straight at the beginning of this match. This guy meeting on the palm of his hands. We need to push him like to the next level right now.
Next match here is Trish Stratus, Lita, and Becky Lynch defeating Damage Control in a six-woman tag team match. Damage Control, Dr. Dre, Trish, Lita, and Becky. Fun trios match with some great spots. It was great to see Trish and Lita perform on the WrestleMania stage again. I feel like they haven't lost a step, and I hope they keep going for a while longer. It certainly appears that this is not the last of seeing Trish and Lita. Good match, Dr. Dre. It kind of caught me by surprise because I was kind of iffy on the build-up head in this one as well.
Yeah, it was a good match. I'm still like, maybe it's because like I grew up with Jeff, Matt, and Lita, and Lita in her prime was one of the most freakishly athletic women I'd ever seen. And I do feel like she's lost a step, but I thought Trish and Becky and the rest of the girls looked great in this match. But yeah, it was pretty fun. And then seeing, you know, just like you said, seeing Trish and Lita at WrestleMania competing with women who they idolized and got them, you know, were their inspiration for getting into wrestling is beautiful. It does make me worry a little bit about what we do with Damage Control coming out of this. Like, where do they go from here? Because really, since SummerSlam, although they can say on commentary they've dominated Raw.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
They really haven't won the big matches since SummerSlam. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with them coming out of this.
Could not agree more. That's why I thought Damage Control should have gotten the victory at WrestleMania. They went the other direction, highly dominating that feud, in my opinion. And obviously there's some stories out there right now based off of Bayley's tweet of saying bye and being romanticized. And if it's, you know, kayfabe or if it's legit. I guess she was supposed to be at Raw and was going to be in the corner of Damage Control and then was pulled during the show. Not sure why. Maybe they're trying to build off of that tweet. Who knows? But there's a lot of rumors or thoughts circulating in regards to Bayley's status with WWE moving forward. Next match here is Rey Mysterio defeating Dominic Mysterio. I had Dominic, Dr. Trey had Rey. Very fun match, great in-ring action, and great storytelling from this awesome feud. I had written down in my notes that I fully expect Rey and Bad Bunny versus Dom and Damian Priest at Backlash. I definitely feel that way even more following Monday's Raw. I loved both entrances from Dom and Rey. I thought Dom's entrance was really, really good. Rey's entrance was great with Snoop. And then the Viva La Raza playing for a little bit. I mean, this feud has been phenomenal. Dominic Mysterio went from a guy that we just kind of rolled your eyes at, as wrestling fans. It was like, oh man, he's got this job because he's Rey's son, had a very corny babyface character. And ever since he's gotten with the Judgment Day and had this character that he has right now, he's really leaned into it. And you could just tell he has more confidence. I think that's the best way I could sum it up is by watching him on TV. The kid has so much more confidence than he ever has. And he's become a really solid in-ring performer. Like that frog splash has really evolved his finisher over time. It was a very clunky frog splash, And then it is the closest one I've seen to Eddie Guerrero's Frog Splash, which was very fluid and smooth, that I've seen in some time. Really enjoyed this match, Dr. Trey. Rey Mysterio defeating Dominic.
Yeah, this, if you could ever say, like, what's a great WrestleMania match from production, storytelling, entrances, the whole nine yards, this might be one of those blueprint kind of matches. Like, the entrances were phenomenal. The only thing I would have tweaked is I would have had Dom come out to, like, one of NWA's songs or something from Snoop's early days just to kind of fire it back, you know, for what, you know, Ray was going to do. But, like, the entrance was great. Like, Ray's entrance was fantastic. Seeing Snoop driving the lowrider, like, all that stuff was great. The match itself was really good. It was a year ago, Jeff, that I was like, take Dominic off TV, and now he's one of my favorite things to watch, which just shows you how crazy and transitional wrestling can be. My only knock on Dom now is him still doing the 619, because it still looks a little weird and clunky. But it's because he's so tall. It's hard for a really tall person to hit a move like that. But the Frog Splash looks great. It's so fluid. It's fantastic right now. Like, this was just a brilliant match. And then we're still going to get more of it heading into, you know, to Puerto Rico with Bad Bunny and Damian Priest getting involved. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's been solid.
Next match here is Rhea Ripley defeating Charlotte Flair to win the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. We both had Rhea Ripley. What a hell of a match. Hard-hitting, physical, great back and forth. There were several lose-your-breath spots in this match. Amazing storytelling throughout. It felt like Rhea and Charlotte wanted to prove a point by not being the main event. And guess what? They did. This is a match that people will be talking about at the end of the year, Dr. Trey, as Match of the Year candidates, in my opinion. I love this match. Rhea Ripley defeating Charlotte Flair.
Yeah, I really loved it also, and that's me not being the biggest Charlotte fan in the world. Like, I she's fantastic. I don't know. There's always been a disconnect between me and Charlotte, but overall, like, I mean, you don't get – this may be the best women's match I've ever seen, so it's hard to knock anything about it. My only knock on it, though, is the fact that now Rhea's on SmackDown. I don't really know how this whole thing plays out with the brands right now. I'm a little confused, but, well, I guess we'll find out Friday. But overall, like, this is as close to a perfect women's match as you can possibly get. Hard hitting, athletic, just, you know, all the things that maybe the women's division's got knocked for in the past. These girls went out there and killed it. They made me eat my words. Like I had said, like, the women's division had been down this year. They just basically showed in my face that, hey, the division might have been down, but doesn't mean all the women are down. So they just had a hell of a performance.
Next match here was Pat McAfee defeating The Miz. We did not predict this match. This was that segment with Snoop having a impromptu match for The Miz. I did mention that I thought Pat McAfee would get involved with The Miz the last several weeks. I felt like he was going to be the co-host of WrestleMania or take it over. So maybe like 25% right here. I did not see him wrestling The Miz. Nonetheless, great to see Pat back. George Kittle gets his SportsCenter moment. They always have to have a SportsCenter moment during WrestleMania. To me, again, and you'll hear when we recap Night 2, The Miz is the greatest soldier in WWE history. What is weird here for two guys that are NFL fans and Dr. Trey and I, and one being a diehard San Francisco 49ers fan and Dr. Trey, strange. I know Kittle is a huge WWE fan, but here is Kittle in enemy territory in Los Angeles where the Rams play. And granted, LA does not have great sports fans in general, so this doesn't really hit home like if it was Boston and New York and Philly and those areas where it may be a bigger deal to those fans. But it's like George Kittle is the guy that they're coming. They can't get anybody on the Rams or even the Chargers that's recognizable that could come out here and make that moment. Nonetheless, Pat McAfee defeats The Miz, Dr. Trey.
Did I just hear you knock my guy for like 5 minutes there? Like it felt like.
No, I love Kittle, but you get what I'm saying, though, right? Like, imagine if it was in New, it, like at Yankee Stadium, and they're like, and here's David Ortiz, dope up Pat McAfee. Like, it didn't get a reaction, I felt like, from the fans.
Yeah, I mean, I hate that you're knocking my guy. Like, I'm a Niners fan. George Kittle's my guy, so this is one of my highlights of night one. But, you know, really, it's the Chargers stadium. I mean, outside of Justin Herbert, is there anybody you could have got?
And the Rams, too.
I mean, you could have got, what, Matthew Stafford? Well, Stafford's
Aaron
hurt.
Donald?
Aaron Donald, good. Cooper Kupp is so tiny, though. You could, like, And then also when the Rams play the Niners have more ticket holders in L.A. than the Rams did.
Yes.
So, but it was good to see Pat. Like, we had talked about it. Like, I thought he'd make an appearance at least. I just didn't know he's going to have a match. But, and I do love the line of, hey, this is my WrestleMania tank top. Like, that kind of popped me a little bit for it. But, yeah, I don't know how I feel about Pat McAfee performing at WrestleMania. I do love hearing him on commentary, but I don't, I mean, is with him being a special attraction, does that make him one of like the top guys in, I mean,
no.
Does he have a shirt yet?
No. He's much better in commentary. His run as a wrestler against Adam Cole in NXT was a lot better than it's been on the main roster. But yeah, no, I'm not knocking Kittle. I like Kittle. He's a big wrestling fan. I love it. I just thought it was strange that you have one of their biggest rivals, the Rams' biggest rival, one of their top players is the one that's making the WrestleMania appearance. It made no sense to me, but I get it. Kittle is the wrestling fan, and maybe they couldn't get any of the Rams or Chargers to come in there. I think Aaron Donald would have been badass too, but nonetheless, Pat McAfee defeats the Miz in a match that we did not see coming. And that takes us to the main event, Dr. Trey. It was official. The main event match was the tag team championship match for the very first time in the history of WrestleMania. A tag team championship match was the main event at WrestleMania. And for the first time since WrestleMania 1, a tag team match headlined a WrestleMania as Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn defeat the Usos to win the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship. Dr. Trey and I both had Owens and Zayn winning. Beautiful storytelling, great match. I love the build towards the pinfall victory. It just kept growing and growing with the crowd getting louder and louder as the moment built up. This win means a lot to me as I've watched their careers grow pre-WWE to now, and to watch them headline WrestleMania and win the Tag Team Championship to close out WrestleMania is seriously gratifying for me as a fan. For 13 years of doing this podcast, I say it time and time again, I think the two wrestlers that are the biggest reflection of like our wrestling fandom have been Kevin Owens / Kevin Steen and Sami Zayn / El Generico. I mean, it was literally the feud of the year in 2010 from ROH was those two guys. It was not a feud in WWE, not a feud in TNA at the time. It was those two guys in ROH, and here they are 13 years later closing out WrestleMania. It's one of those things where, you know, you believe in a wrestler. I believed a lot in Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn as performers. And I would always tell people, like, go out of your way and check out their matches pre-WWE. And I always believed in them. But I also, as being a longtime wrestling fan, know that that doesn't always correlate to the bigger promotions. Like, Vince McMahon is not going to see my same vision. WWE is not going to always see my same vision. But those guys, with their talent, their tenacity, and their connection to the audience, reached that point on Saturday night. As a fan, it was seriously gratifying to see them get their just deserve that they are the two guys closing out of WrestleMania's tag team champions in the very first tag team championship match. Very emotional moment for wrestling fans that believe in those two guys. Dr. Trey, amazing match. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are your new Undisputed WWE Tag Team Champions.
Yeah, I was, as you were talking about it and the connection that you and I both have to Kevin and Sami, I was like, wait, chubby bearded guy and a ginger? Like, maybe subliminally that's why we were drawn to them, but it was beautiful storytelling, a fantastic match. I love that Sami and Kevin had matching gear. Like, it's just little subtleties like that. I noticed when they came out, I'm like, Sami Zayn had his initials with like the duct tape look like KO does. Like, little things like that add up, and it just shows you they're on the same page in this match. Like, it was just so brilliantly done. The storytelling throughout the match, the near falls, all that stuff kind of came together. And, you know, I referenced it last week, like, if they were to win, the hug after the match would be the closest thing we've seen to like Eddie and Benoit. And I still felt that, like, seeing them win, seeing them get the titles, seeing the adulation the crowd was drowning them in, the hug, the embrace, all that stuff, just it brought back a lot of those Eddie Benoit memories. And it's also like you can tell when Hunter's in charge because these guys get a chance to shine. And maybe, you know, when Vince was there, they didn't always get cast into the best light. They were always solid, but you never got them in this light. So they're definitely Triple H guys. And I when you see this, and it's the match that closes out WrestleMania, and I love the arguments on social media about the women's match, the tag match. look, at the end of the show, both the women's match and the tag match delivered, and you got all up in your feels, and that's what WrestleMania is all about.
Yeah, great, great night overall from WrestleMania Night 1. Pay-per-view prediction record, I went 3-4. Dr. Trey went 6-1. Match of the night, an event rating from Night 1. I gave WrestleMania Saturday a 4.8 out of 5. I thought it was a nearly perfect show. I thought there were 3 to 4 solid match of the year candidates, from Rollins and Logan Paul to Dominic and Rey Mysterio to Rhea and Charlotte to Kevin and Sammy versus the Usos. Like, legitimately 3 to 4 match of the year candidates. My match of the night was Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair. That's a very tough call when you have that solid of a card. I think it was a nearly perfect show. Some drawbacks was Cena and Austin Theory. I think you could make some qualms about the trios match for the women, but I thought that was a very solid match as well. I really enjoyed Night 1, Dr. Trey.
Yeah, I was right there with you. I was at a 4.7, and basically the 0.3 was the Theory Cena match. I mean, really, outside of that, I would have had no issues at all with the show. My match of the night, I got to go the tag match just because of the emotional connection to it, and that's hard because literally I was going – any one of the last, you know, the Dominic Rey match, Rhea and Charlotte, and then the tag match, any one of those would have been, and I could have made arguments for any of them. Like, the Rey Dom match was wrestling perfection in storytelling, production, the whole nine yards. Charlotte and Rhea, best women's match I've ever seen. But that tag match, the emotional connection, and then basically a year-long story to get to that point, it's hard to top that one also. So, Sami, Kevin, and the Usos, my match of the night.
Dr. Trey, if I told you that WrestleMania Saturday was the highest rated pay-per-view event that you've ever done here on the podcast, would you be shocked?
No, just because it was damn near perfection. Like, yeah. I mean, just a couple slight knocks on it, but really, I couldn't have booked a better show myself.
Your highest rated in the history of the podcast was last WrestleMania Saturday, 4.6. That was my highest rating of all time as well. I had given it also a 4.8. So WrestleMania Saturday seems to be the good night when it comes to pay-per-views, Dr. Trey.
Yeah, I mean, it's the table setter, and you're just hoping that Night 2 can live up to it, and we'll get into that next.
All right, Night 2, Brock Lesnar defeats Omos. I had Brock, Dr. Trey had Brock as well. The blueprint for some of the last couple of Brock's matches have been opponent gets in a lot of offense. It looks like they're on the verge of beating Brock. Then a couple suplexes and an F5 later, Brock squeaks out a win. I know there was a lot of discussion on Omos getting the win over Brock, and that did not happen, but Omos did look good against Brock. Dr. Trey, Lesnar defeats Omos.
Yeah, I didn't hate it. I'll put it that way. It was, like you mentioned, the new typical Brock match, especially as a babyface. Brock kind of gets his ass kicked, you know, then comes back in the end. My only thing on it is, the guy's a Nigerian giant, and you had him go down to 37 seconds of offense. Like, that's a little bit, not kills the guy, but it doesn't make him look a little bit like, oh, all you do is him with his one big shot, and he's going to be gone. I would have him kick out of the first F5 and then have Brock in the second one. But that's the only difference. Outside of that, it was a solid showing for both guys. I thought Omos looked much more improved, because I generally was worried going into that match that if Omos screwed up, Brock would, you know, kick his ass for real.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you on that. Well, we've seen that before with Brock and Braun Strowman in the Royal Rumble match several years ago. Next match is Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler defeating Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez, Natalya and Shotzi, and Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville in the Women's WrestleMania Showcase Fatal 4-Way Match. Dr. Trey and I both had Ronda and Shayna get the victory. Three teams performed well, at least. I don't know if Baszler got legitimately hurt during the match. She was limping noticeably at the end. But we do know that Ronda was already going into this one, so she was going to be limited. I get that you want Rousey and Baszler to get heat, but I'm not sure this was the good kind of heel heat you want after that match. Not a great match, Dr. Trey.
No, I mean, I thought the other three teams did well.
Agreed.
I think really, if you took out the way the finish was, we would have been saying, hey, it was actually a pretty solid match. I don't hate the finish as a heel, just because, I mean, how many times have we watched weird triple threat, four-way matches, and the heels sneak in last second to get the victory? What I hated was how long Ronda set up to do the armbar. It's like, all right, you really haven't done crap the entire match, but you're really going to sell us you're going to lock this in. Like, just slide in, lock it in, get the tap out, and escape with a victory. I thought that would have been better, and that might have brought it up a little bit. But outside of that, hey, you know, Raquel and Liv, Shotzi. And by the way, wouldn't you have rather had Raquel and Natalya as a tag team and Liv and Shotzi as a tag team? Wouldn't that make more sense?
Say those teams again?
Like, if you had switched Liv and Natalya, where you had Raquel and Natalya and Liv and Shotzi, I think, you know, character-wise, those tag teams make more sense than what we got.
I guess they're kind of interchangeable, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I just think
Raquel and Liv are now the new number one contenders, so it appears maybe they want it to go a little bit more long-term.
Yeah, I know that you're trying to slowly build Raquel up to be in that Rhea Charlotte class because of her size and everything else, and Liv's your kind of, you know, fun-loving, devil-may-care personality, but if you're building tag teams, typically you want your tag teams to kind of have chemistry, and I just feel like those two teams don't really have chemistry.
I think Raquel and Liv do. They've been tagging for a little bit here. I think they do. The other ones are definitely just thrown together. I think probably Chelsea Green and Carmella would have been a very, very good, well-oiled tag team going into this one as well, I felt like.
I do think the Chelsea Sonya tag team actually has
legs. Yeah.
Has legs to it, though.
Yeah. Definitely do a little bit of a stable. Maybe add Carmella as a complainer as well when she returns from whatever's going on with her right now.
Yeah.
Next match here is Gunther defeating Sheamus and Drew McIntyre in a triple threat match to retain the WWE Intercontinental Championship. Dr. Trey and I both had Sheamus. Holy shit. What an incredible match, Dr. Trey. It was physically demanding as expected, but even more physically demanding than what we really expected. These guys left it all out in the ring, and it was amazing. A WrestleMania Intercontinental title match we will be talking about for a very long time. Loved, loved, loved this match. Gunther retains against Sheamus and Drew McIntyre, Dr. Trey.
God, I could just watch Gunther and Sheamus fight forever, and I hate that saying, but I mean, just, and then throw Drew into the mix. It's so much fun to watch. Like, when your 16-year-old walks into the room and he's not a wrestling fan, he's watching this match, and you watch him cringe at these shots, you're like, he's like, I thought this stuff was kind of fake. I'm like, that's not. That hurts like hell. It's beautiful. Yeah, it was hard. It's going to be hard for me to say a match is better than the one Gunther had at, in Cardiff. This was right there, and probably a little bit better. Fantastic. Just what pro wrestling I grew up on, that's what that was all about, was that match right there.
Next match is Bianca Belair defeating Asuka to retain the WWE Raw Women's Championship. I had Bianca, Dr. Trey, and Asuka. This match had a tough act to follow, but it was a really solid, fun, and great match that delivered. The finishing sequence was really good. Bianca remains undefeated at WrestleMania, Dr. Trey.
Yeah, her, Pat McAfee, and Michael Cole, and Snoop. Is that where we're at right now? Undefeated streaks?
Yeah, what a group. How often do you hear all those together?
I know. That's like the pin. That's the new Mount Rushmore of wrestling, by the way. So I'll throw that out there for you guys. Yeah, no, really solid match, really fun match. Unfortunately, you know, Rhea and Charlotte, like, basically set a whole new bar for other women to get up to. And if not for that match, I might have said, hey, this is one of the better women's matches I've seen. But Charlotte and Rhea set the bar so high, it's kind of hard for anybody to get up there yet. But, yeah, really, really good match, good closing sequence. You know, and just now what do you do with the women's division? Because right now, it feels like there's no clarity to where the two champions are going.
Next match here is Shane McMahon / Snoop Dogg versus The Miz. We did not predict this match. Shane or Snoop Dogg defeated The Miz. I audibly groaned when Shane McMahon came out, and I have a very long track record in history with Shane as a performer, as a wrestler on this podcast. But I obviously did not want to see him blow out his knee. That was brutal to see. Props to Snoop Dogg for coming in and saving the segment. It was the worst people's elbow of all time, along with the worst bounce off the ropes I've ever seen. But it was filler. Snoop Dogg defeats The Miz, Dr. Trey.
Yeah, I instantly when Shane's music hit, I thought of you. I was like, oh, Jeff is so pissed right now. Like, of all the surprises, not a Randy Orton. You know, no. We get Shane back. And then, like you said, you don't ever want to see anybody get hurt in the ring. And it sucks for Shane, especially because he's been off for almost a year and a half, I think it is now.
Close to, yeah.
Yeah, so, which also kind of told me that the Endeavor sale was going through because Vince was back in charge because Shane's on the show. But Snoop, fantastic audible. And props to Miz also once again for, you know, helping call that. And I think Jerry Briscoe had a worse people's elbow back during the Attitude Era days, but in modern times, this is arguably the worst people's elbow ever. But, you know, kudos to those guys for calling it on the fly, making something happen. And, I mean, Snoop wins, and he has his own championship belt, so I can't knock the guy for that.
Yeah, I guess Shane actually tore his quads. I think Triple H said after the WrestleMania was over at the press conference, so hopefully all the best for Shane. That was brutal to see.
Is that a McMahon thing? Because Triple H has done that, Vince has done that, and now Shane's done it. Now Stephanie does it.
Yeah.
It's a curse.
Yeah, I mean, Vince did it getting into the ring at the Royal Rumble. Shane did it jumping over The Miz at the WrestleMania. And then Hunter, obviously, has done it a couple times actually wrestling. So, yeah, it appears to be a thing that McMahon's, specifically those with the last name McMahon, male Matt McMahon's at least, like to do at major pay-per-view events as a lasting impression moving on. Next match here is Edge defeating the Demon Finn Balor in a Hell in a Cell match. We both had Edge getting the victory. Solid Hell in a Cell match. Tough break with the injury stoppage after Finn got busted open by taking a ladder to the head. What a badass SOB there Finn Balor is. Still very entertained with some wildly dangerous spots. I love the theatrics involved from start to finish in this one. This is similar to the Cena Theory match. I guess this match was supposed to go a little bit longer. That's why it felt short, because it actually did go short. The injury had a lot to play in there, and I don't know if Finn was limited in that, but that was a gnarly, gnarly ladder to the head spot that he had to take. And then that Instagram post he had of the staples in his head was even gnarlier. Edge gets a victory in the Hell in a Cell, Dr. Trey.
Yeah, I mean, up until the injury spot, I thought it was a really good match. And, you know, I love that Demon Finn doesn't really sell all that much until you can damn near, his head gets cracked open and you can damn near see his brain. I mean, that's one of the gnarliest cuts I have ever seen in any kind of sporting endeavor. So kudos to him to finish the match. I don't know about you. I felt like at some point they were going to go up top and maybe that got cut from the injury. But yeah, just a gnarly match. And, you know, for performing with that kind of head wound, like that dude gets all the props in the world to me now. So Finn's a badass. Edge is a badass. And just a really, really solid Hell in a Cell match. And good to see Hell in a Cell back at WrestleMania.
Agreed. I was very happy to see it back there for the first time since WrestleMania 32 with Undertaker and Shane. Speaking of Shane. And then finally, the main event, Roman Reigns defeats Cody Rhodes to retain the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. Dr. Trey and I both had Cody Rhodes, and I'm sure we'll have some stuff to talk about this one. My thoughts on it, amazing match. Incredible roller coaster of emotions with the back and forth. Shocking finish. I think Roman retaining was the right call if Cody is eventually the person to dethrone Roman. There's the caveat. I think this loss only helps Cody in the long run, something that we've been talking about here over the last couple of weeks, why Cody should win, why Cody should lose. I felt like Cody was going to win going into this. I felt like it was going to be the dawning of a new era in WWE. There's rumors of Roman going away. Those rumors obviously proved to not be true. Roman is still the champion. Cody taking the L may help him in the long run if he is the guy to dethrone Roman, as I previously mentioned. But we get your thoughts, Dr. Trey. Roman defeats Cody.
Yeah, this was, once again, this is one of those matches where if you're looking for a WrestleMania, you know, production performance, this is one of those blueprints. It was, you know, a pretty good build. You know, maybe not great, but it was pretty solid. Entrances were fantastic. The match was great. The finish was really good. I mean, we got Sammy and KO with the run-in on the Usos. You get Solo getting ejected, making the comeback to kind of screw Cody. It's just really, really well done. I even loved, you know, we got a negative one reference. We saw a negative one, you know, Brody Huber out there at ringside, you know, and Cody giving the belt. And you know, we saw Brandy and Cody's daughter at ringside. Like just, excuse me, a wonderful, wonderful match. I loved it. And I love the finish because I think, like you mentioned, I think it's great for Cody's career. Maybe not for those fans hoping for that, you know, the good guy to go home with the victory, but for Cody as a character in WWE, this is what he needed. He needed to take an L and come back.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that were obviously complaining about this, Dr. Trey. A lot of fans on Twitter were being very loud about it. and saying that it was the right call. This looks like Vince is back and all this stuff. And I get the stuff with Vince and creative from this past week, especially on Monday Night's Raw, that there's a lot of credence to. I don't think this is a reflection of Vince being back. I think once again, and I stress this very much so, I think this was the right call if Cody is to be the guy. I mean, the Roman Reigns matches are great. And I saw an interview with Paul Heyman and Ariel Helwani after this match, and he was saying that Heyman was that the reason why, you know, fans like to think that they know how to book the shows. And he's right. We do think that. I mean, we talk about it here each and every week on this podcast on how we think it should be booked and what we like and dislike. And he said that sometimes things don't go as planned in the eyes of the fans, and it makes for even a better story. And I think you could say that for a lot of the stuff that was going on with the Bloodline, where there was some predictable stuff, but a lot of unpredictable stuff. And this is an unpredictable match and an unpredictable result because we thought it was going in a different direction. We thought Roman was going away. We thought Cody was going to be the guy, the flag bearer. But we also talked about the opposite side of that, where if Cody takes a loss, it's actually better for him in the long run. I think the elevation of Cody only continues further. And I think you can make a case for the segment that we saw to close out Raw this past Monday night as well in that elevation. I think Cody is a bigger star today than he was last week because of that match. He was the closest we have seen in some time for anybody that was going to defeat Roman Reigns. And it was just, it was a really, really good match. I really enjoyed the match, Dr. Trey. I thought it was great, and I'm not upset as much as other people are that Cody did not walk out as world champion to close out WrestleMania 39.
Yeah, one of the things we talked about and I had mentioned also is like you got to have a lot, you know, for somebody to be the top babyface in WWE, you got to have obstacles to overcome, and everything had kind of gone really smooth and according to the plan for the Cody Rhodes character. And now he's got obstacles to overcome. You know, he's got to rebound from the loss. He's got to come back from, you know, the Brock Lesnar beatdown. And I was talking with a friend of mine the other day about this, about storytelling. And I was like, look, I compare wrestling to movies a lot, especially like the Marvel Universe. And if you go back to like Avengers Endgame Part 1, the Avengers didn't win. Thanos snapped his fingers and wiped out half the universe. This is kind of like Roman is Thanos. Like, he's the guy that you got to overcome and take down. And if you do it in the first act, you don't get the great sequel to follow up on it. Now they've built up Cody getting to the sequel. And that's the best comparison I could come up with for what happened Sunday night. Like, the match itself was fantastic. The finish left you kind of going, crap, I really hate this. But now you want to see it again. Now, that's why you heard when Cody mentioned rematch on Raw, the crowd went nuts for it. You know, like, they want to see this again. And you're right, Cody's a bigger star now, because he got publicity across all the major networks, everybody else talking about how, you know, Roman defeats Cody Rhodes. Look, if you didn't know who Cody Rhodes was before this match, at least now you're interested in finding out who this guy is that came so close to beating Roman and ending his 945-day streak. So I think it's great for the company. I think it's great for Cody, and it's great for Roman as well.
Let's talk about the Raw after Mania real quick here, Dr. Trey. It's usually the most fun edition of Raw, which it was not this past week. There's a lot to be said behind the scenes stuff. It appeared that Vince was back heavily involved with creative. A lot of things were changed prior to going out there, and it was very reflective from what we saw on this week's edition of Raw. It just felt like it was a throwaway show. It was not a fresh show, which it typically is after WrestleMania. We did not see any debuts. We saw only one return in Riddle. The Lesnar turning heel stuff is obviously the biggest news story from it, but it did not have that normal feel. It did have that feel of a Vince McMahon production, which is not good. We'll talk on next week's edition of the podcast and see where the future of Vince involved with creative is. We'll have to see how Friday's SmackDown look and what reports we hear out of there. But I guess the big story here is Brock turning heel on Cody. And again, I go back to, you know, Cody's a bigger star today than he was last week. Thoughts on the Raw after Mania, Dr. Trey?
Yeah, there was one of the worst, not just Raws after Mania, one of the worst Raws I'd seen in a very, very long time. Like, no, there was no storyline advancement of any kind across the board. And even the Brock turning on Cody thing, like, when that was first announced to start the show, like, I kind of felt that coming. I don't know about you, but I was like, yeah, that's, I mean, one of the great things they mentioned on there, like, is Brock hadn't been in a tag match since, you know, 2004, some crazy thing like that. So kind of felt it coming. Wasn't a big surprise, but like you said, like, Cody's now just worked a program with Roman, might be working a program with Brock. I mean, that's next level type stuff. That's what you do with your future babyface stars. And look, Cowboy Brock's fun, but, you know, heel Brock is where the money's at. And, you know, you somehow align Heyman with him again a little bit on the side, since Brock can't challenge Roman for the belt. Now Brock becomes a hitman for hire for the Bloodline. That's pretty cool as well. So it's going to be really, really fun, interesting to see how it goes. But yeah, but the show itself, across the board, just disconjointed all over the place. And I don't feel like anything got advanced at all.
WrestleMania Sunday predictions record. I went 4-2. Dr. Trey went 3-3 coming out of WrestleMania weekend. I'm at 31-13. Dr. Trey is at 27-17. Event rating and match of the night from WrestleMania Sunday. I gave WrestleMania Sunday all in all a 4.4. Very solid show. And my match of the night was Gunther, Sheamus, and Drew McIntyre. What say you, Dr. Trey?
A little bit behind you again. I was a 4.2, but I also had Gunther, Sheamus, and McIntyre in my match of the night.
Yeah, you cannot go wrong there. Not at all. What a hell of a match that was. What do you think was the overall best match from WrestleMania, Dr. Trey? For you and I, for Saturday, I had Rhea and Charlotte. You had Kevin and Sammy versus the Usos. Then we both had Gunther, Sheamus, and Drew McIntyre. Which match out of your two do you feel like was the match of WrestleMania 39?
I mean, we're knee-jerking kind of a few days later, but for me, I just overall storyline match, it's, for me, it's still Sammy, KO, and the Usos, just because, like, that was a year-long build-up to get to this point, so it's hard for me to knock that one. But, you know, 6 months from now, I might switch to Gunther, Sheamus, and McIntyre, just because of how hard-hitting that was. But really, any one of those three that we named off for match of the nights over the weekend, I mean, you couldn't go wrong with any of them.
Yeah, I actually was, as you were talking, I was like, man, I don't know what I'm going to pick, but I thought you said it really well, where it's like, I'm going to pick this match now, but I may say the other match 6 months from now or at the end of the year. And that's how I feel. Like right now for me, Rhea and Charlotte was match of WrestleMania 39, but I could really see myself in December go, damn, I really enjoyed Gunther, Sheamus, and Drew McIntyre. If these were the two top matches from 2023, nothing else surpasses it. So, yeah, lots and lots of fun. Feel free to chime in on anything we discussed on this week's edition of the podcast at SRTU Podcast or facebook.com/TheStillReal.Show. With that said, let's get a couple plugs and spots out of the way. You can download the show every Thursday at RealGuyRadio.com, WrestleChatNet on Twitter, and the Still Real to Show iTunes feed. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to help us climb the charts on iTunes. You can follow us individually on Twitter for myself at SRTU Jeff and for Dr. Trey Franklin at The Dr. Trey. And of course, don't forget to follow the show on Twitter at SRTU Podcast. With that being said, what is going on in the wonderful world of Dr. Trey Franklin this week?
Well, like Jeff said, you can follow me on Twitter at TheDrTrey. Apologies from the guy who tweeted us about Ring of Honor Supercard. I totally missed that tweet, but you can follow me on there at TheDrTrey. Find me on Facebook. Find me on Instagram, Dr. Trey Franklin. When you're on Facebook, be sure to check out Rocket City Championship Wrestling as we are on the road to WrestlingCon 6. Like I mentioned last week, Dalton Castle has been announced to appear for the show. Now, also the boys are going to be back in Rocket City Championship Wrestling for WrestlingCon 6, along with Chase Owens from the Bullet Club, Action Mike Jackson, Sin Bodie, all the Rocket City stars. So if you're in the area or you want to make a road trip, come on down, check out WrestlingCon 6.
All right, so support all the great things that support SRTU. And once again, next week's edition of the podcast, we'll recap the WWE sale, maybe some of the stuff with CM Punk and AEW rumors, and so much more on the 13th. And then in 2 weeks, it is the fantasy promotion draft here on SRTU. Very first time that we've ever done our fantasy promotions SRTU style. Dr. Trey and I will be both picking 10 male, 10 female, 5 tag teams, 2 commentators, 2 backstage interviewers for a fantasy promotion that we will also be naming. So if you have any great names that you think we should have, feel free to chime in at SRTU Podcast. Once again, thank you for making us part of your week. Thanks for downloading this week's edition of the show. Thank you for making us part of your WrestleMania 39 coverage. Until next week, for Dr. Trey Franklin, I'm Jeff Peck. This is the Still Real Though Show. Thank you.
Thank you.